If you've ever had a friend, a family member, or a coworker who is a narcissist or who might suffer from narcissistic personality disorder, the chances that you have been a victim of gaslighting are pretty close to 100%. So gaslighting is officially a pervasive and highly effective tactic meant to manipulate you by psychological means into questioning your own sanity. In other words, it's an ongoing form of manipulation that causes you to doubt what you see, what you hear, and experience. In fact, it causes you to doubt your own perception of the world around you and what's happening to you. It's often used by toxic narcissists, and it's sort of a type of brainwashing that can cause you to eventually lose your entire sense of self. Repeatedly experiencing gaslighting can destroy your self-worth, and it's going to cause you to question reality in general.
Gaslighting is a manipulative, systematically perpetrated strategy that pathological narcissists use in order to control and often hurt their victims. They do that by instilling a narrative, implanting a narrative about a person that something is wrong with them when nothing was, or something is very wrong with them with a problem they had that was originally mild. By systematically manipulating the environment to prove their narrative, their victim eventually recognizes this fake narrative and identifies with the problem. As the gaslighter manipulates them to identify with the problem, he then builds a narrative that they are needy, unlikable, and would do better if they isolate.
But what does gaslighting look like in real life? It can be really hard to detect gaslighting from outside of your relationship because it's insidious and it's oddly subtle and quite emotionally and psychologically debilitating when it's happening to you. During gaslighting, the toxic person will make certain declarations, certain allegations, which are usually based on deliberate untruths and quite intentionally done. Now, if someone is gaslighting you, they might use something like your prized possessions or the people you love and care about as ammunition, but nothing is off limits here. They're gonna come after your parenting, your personal hygiene, even your career. For example, let's just say you happen to be a highly skilled surgeon who's considered one of the best in your field. Now, you didn't decide this yourself. You've been given awards and accolades for years. Now, while you don't brag about it, you've worked pretty hard and you stay informed and you're on top of stuff in your particular field. It's your passion. Now, a gaslighter is going to tell you that you're not really the best in your field. And they might say something like, people only gave you those awards and accolades because they wanted to get you in bed or because they feel sorry for you or whatever. Now, in this case, they're going to point out that time your boss pulled you aside and asked you out 20 years ago. And then they're going to tell you that your last few awards were only given to you because somebody felt sorry for you or whatever, now that you're starting to show your age. Adding that you might as well pack it up before everyone realizes you've been a fake all along. And after years of this sneaky, subtle conditioning, you might actually start to doubt yourself and even your abilities if you haven't already. Now, gaslighters actively and intentionally confuse their victims in some pretty terrible ways. They might cut you down and build you up in the same day and then tear you down again. And while they might come out with an unexpected positive point here and there, consider that like a crumb of affection. That's part of the intermittent reinforcement thing. Then they're often going to alternate this with outrageous accusations toward you with no logical reason. For example, let's just say that a man has been gaslighting his wife for a while now. He puts her down constantly to the point that she is so used to being put down all the time that she almost doesn't even notice anymore. But one day he starts praising her for the delicious dinner she cooks. This might make her start to think he really isn't so bad after all. She might start to relax and even feel almost happy. She might tell him how much better she's feeling lately. His response would be odd but positive, and now she's floating on air. And then out of the blue, this man might accuse her of cheating on him, which of course she never did, but now she's feeling confused and worn down and pretty nervous and scared that he might do something else, something worse. The thing is that gaslighters make you feel crazy because, and I want you to listen closely here, because they act like your reactions to their abuse are not rational.
Cherry on top of the gaslighting sundae is then the gaslighter portrays himself as the only one that loves, accepts, and will protect the victim. Therefore, the victim has taken on a psychological problem or disorder, feeling broken, unlovable, and encouraged to isolate, and then picking the person that has designed the whole plan, and then no one in their outside world, friends, family, or loved ones, can get them to try to bring them back to reality. And therefore, they are trapped, sometimes forever trapped, by the scheming, sociopathic, gaslighting narcissist.
While the signs you're being gaslighted might seem obvious, it's not really how it works. The fact is that when you're being manipulated by a narcissist, you can't always see the proverbial forest for the trees. And when a narcissist manipulates you, you can't see it from the outside of the relationship because it's very subtle. So if you start to think you're a little crazy, which of course is what the end goal of the whole gaslighting technique is, or even like you feel like you're thinking I'm dealing with a narcissist and I want to recognize this stuff as it happens, you need to know that understanding the signs of gaslighting can really be the first step to making your life just a little bit better. That's because when you're aware of the behaviors that cause the narcissist to engage in gaslighting, you can react differently and you can change the course of the outcome. Plus, this gives you the option to sort of look at it like a scientist, like I always say, as in look at it logically and not emotionally. For me, that was one of the most important things I learned in my own recovery. I needed to be able to sort of somehow categorize and label the behaviors on a logical level. It helped take the sting out of it for me. Once I understood that on that level, well, then I could go back and I could figure out how my emotions had been affected. And at that point, then I could connect the emotions and the facts and kind of move forward in a healthier way. It is my goal to help you do the same thing, maybe with a little less stress. So let's dig in a little bit here, and we're gonna talk about the top 10 signs that you might be dealing with gaslighting in your own relationship. Number one, your fears are used against you. Narcissists can be very charming, at least when they wanna be. A lot of times they're gonna listen to every word you have to say and they're gonna file away any vulnerabilities you reveal for later use. And this is especially gonna be true early in the relationship where they're gonna spend a lot of time trying to figure out who you are, and it's gonna feel really awesome to you at the time, but later it's gonna come back and bite you. They will also do this throughout the relationship. For example, let's say you told the narcissist that you felt insecure about your weight. Well, in that case, the narcissist might later make discreet pokes at you about that. Or if you're in a romantic relationship, they might make comments about other people who are thinner than you. In any case, the narcissist is out to feel better than you and to make you doubt yourself at the same time. So they have an ultimate goal, and that is, as I said, to make you doubt yourself. So you become what? More dependent on the narcissist. That brings me to number two, you don't know your own mind anymore. Some narcissists are gonna claim that they know what you or other people are thinking. If you actually deny that you're thinking the way they say you're thinking, the narcissist might say you're lying. And in some cases, they might even accuse you of lying to yourself. See, because of course, as narcissists, they can't possibly be wrong, so that must be the case. That brings me to number three, you don't know what's normal anymore. Listen, if you're regularly being told that things are normal when deep down you know for sure that they're not, you're probably getting gaslighted. For example, let's say your toxic boss says to you, hey, can you just lie to that client about the safety of that item so we don't have to give them a refund or whatever? Well, when you refuse, you might be told that all employees lie on behalf of their employers, and if you don't want to be a team player, maybe you need to go find a new job. That brings me to number four, you're diagnosed with major issues. That's because when a narcissist is lying to or manipulating you and they're not getting their way, what are they going to do? They're going to turn up that intensity by questioning your sanity. They might call you paranoid or stressed out or too sensitive or even hormonal. They might tell you that you need therapy or you need medicine or whatever to get through it. Again, it's all about them being in control. See, the narcissist is gonna do or say anything they can to stay on top of the game. That brings me to number five, you start to doubt your own beliefs, your experiences, and your perceptions. Listen, if you're being told that what you know to be true is just not real, there's a problem. For example, let's say your narcissist mother tells you that your significant other is a loser and you need to dump them. Well, after a while, you might start to notice little things around the edges and you might start to believe it. And then you might end up sabotaging your relationship because you start to question your own judgment thanks to the regular conditioning that you got from your mother. That brings me to number six, you can't remember anything anymore. The narcissist is infamous for selective memory. So they're gonna deny that they said something that upset you, especially if you confront them on it, sometimes right in the same moment. Or maybe they're gonna promise to do something and later tell you that they never made that promise. I never said that. They might also use creative language to downplay their behavior and pretend like your reaction was totally out of line. And number seven, you might lie to keep the peace. By nature, you're not a liar, and in general, you are pretty honest in your life. But because of the extreme stress caused each time you anger or upset the narcissist, you might find yourself at least bending the truth a little in order to avoid the reaction of the narcissist that is sure to follow any discussion or situation that is against the narcissist's little rules. That brings me to number eight, you stop trying to be heard. As humans, we are programmed to share our experiences and our thoughts with the people in our lives. But when you are dealing with a narcissist and there are signs that you're being gaslighted, you might notice that you eventually kind of give up. You stop talking about yourself around the narcissist, and depending on the depth of your relationship with this person, you might even stop talking about yourself altogether. You might even forget how to talk about yourself. And you'll notice that because one day when someone asks you a question about yourself, you don't even know what to say. You forgot who you were. Sadly, that brings me to number nine. You start thinking maybe you really are the crazy one. The intensity of a narcissist manipulation tactics can really get to you. And when you are out there looking for a solution or just any way to end the argument or disagreement, you might find yourself convinced that the narcissist is right. And that there might really be things you could be doing better. And maybe you start to think that maybe the narcissist's behavior was a logical reaction to your mistakes. You ask yourself, am I really the one who owes them an apology? And then you apologize anyway, because that's the easiest thing to do. And when the narcissist, if the narcissist accepts your apology, they'll only do so long enough to hold on to it so they can throw it back in your face later. Which brings me to number 10, you're emotionally exhausted. As a narcissist wears you down, you're going to become depressed and anxious. You're going to be stressed out. You're going to always question yourself, and you're going to start to feel really hopeless. If you're in this situation, you might feel exhausted from the roller coaster ride you've been on with this narcissist. You might even think that you're just a little oversensitive, but that's because the narcissist is subjecting you to these tactics. You probably feel a little confused, and you start to think you're kind of out of it. You're disoriented. And thanks to all of those references to your paranoia and memory issues or whatever, you might find yourself seeking help for depression rather than the actual issue, the gaslighting narcissist in your life. I am going to share with you translations of narcissist to English so that you know exactly what you're hearing when you hear it. So let's just jump right into it. You're angry? I don't need to deal with this nonsense right now. I will leave you alone until you get back to your senses and come back to me later. Translation: I know I'm the reason you're angry about my antics, but I don't care. I will never care. Don't expect me to apologize for my behavior, because I'm totally blameless and perfect. And you need me anyway, right? I'm sick of you accusing me of cheating. It's getting old. Translation: I don't get why you won't just get over it. Clearly I'm cheating. We both know this, but I'm actually overhearing all about it. And I'm tired. I'm tired of having to pretend I'm not doing it. I mean, that's really not fair to me. You know, it's a lot of work to pretend that. I'll never take responsibility for it, because I'm gonna go ahead and expect you to tolerate whatever I throw your way. And oh, if you don't, yeah, I'm totally gonna act like I'm the victim in this whole deal. Yep. I want to be alone. Translation: I want to spend time with someone else and you are in my way. I've done nothing wrong. Translation: I've done all the wrong things. I've done everything you pointed out, and probably a whole lot more, if I'm being honest, which I'm not. I think anything I do is okay, because you know what? I'm the one who did it. And you know I don't do things that are wrong, right? At least not according to me. Also, why do you keep calling me out on things I actually did? I really don't like that. You have an anger problem. Translation: I'm gonna provoke you, poke at you, until you just can't take it anymore. Yeah, and when you finally do blow up at me for continuously disregarding your boundaries, well, I'm just gonna go ahead and say you're an angry, crazy person, because that way I can play the victim instead of actually accepting any responsibility for my behavior, because you know I can't be accepting responsibility for my behavior or whatever. I thought you were the last person I was gonna be with. Translation: I totally underestimated you, and I thought I could be with you while also doing whatever I want with whomever I want, while you patiently wait for me and on me. And you know, keep my house in order and whatnot. Cool? You are too sensitive. You need to have thicker skin. Or can't you take a joke? Gah. Translation: I don't understand why you won't just accept my cruel and unfair criticism of you as fact. I mean, what's wrong with you anyway? You're gonna have to work so hard to get my attention again. Translation: you've caused narcissistic injury by somehow exposing one of my many flaws, and you're gonna pay for it by begging me for my oh-so-precious attention, while I blatantly ignore you and treat you like the dirt on the bottom of my shoe, okay? And while you're at it, listen. I'm going to make you feel like you're the one who needs to apologize to me. Can we get on the same page here? Because even though I'm the one who did something wrong, we all know the deal, right? You're crazy. It's all in your head. You need help. You're delusional. Translation: what you said is absolutely right. In fact, you hit the nail right on the head. But I'm not sure how you figured me out, and I really don't want to admit that you're right here. So I'm gonna make you feel and look crazy, because this way, you're gonna be so focused on what's not really wrong with you, instead of what's wrong with me. That's such a good deal for me. Yay! You're always saying the same thing over and over again. Translation: why do you keep telling the truth over and over again? I mean, I really don't like it when you call me out like that. What's the problem here? Gah, everything's all about you. You're so selfish. Translation: how dare you try to make anything about you? We've talked about this before. You know, it's all about me. Me? What? I can't have a little time alone once in a while? I have to be telling you I love you every 5 freaking minutes? Translation: you've somehow interrupted something or someone I was doing, or I was hiding something from you, and now you're like actually asking me for some sort of validation. I mean, what am I, an actual human being? Come on. You would think that you would know by now that I'm the only one who matters in this flipping relationship. What are you thinking about? Come on. Everyone says you're this, that, or the other thing, or everyone else agrees with me on this thing. Translation, I'm just pretending that some imaginary group of people are silently agreeing with me about, well, literally anything I say, think, feel, or do in regard to you and our relationship. Why? Because not only do I hope that you're going to feel humiliated to just imagine all these so-called people who are all like totally talking about you, it's totally going to help me prove my point. Oh, and also as an added bonus, telling you that everyone thinks bad things about you, well, guess what? That means you're going to be further isolated, and you know what that means, right? Yes, indeed, I'll be more in control than ever. Boom. What? Oh, you're such a nice guy, or oh, you're such a sweetheart. Translation, because of your sweet, empathetic nature, I can totally get you to do anything I want by just manipulating your emotions. You're so easy. Ooh. OMG, you're so boring. Can we please talk about something interesting? You know, like me or whatever, because I'm pretty freaking interesting. I'm just saying. What? Translation, how dare you talk about anything you care about that isn't me. You're not saying enough things about me. Hello? I don't like talking about things that aren't all about me, or at least me focused. What are you doing? Did I mention that I'd like to talk about things that are related to me? I don't think your glasses are working right. Translation, I know you saw what I was doing and you totally understood it correctly. And since I will not be accepting any responsibility for it at all, I'm just gonna gaslight you real quick so you can doubt yourself and your own perception of the world by claiming that something is wrong with your glasses. I'm smart, right? You treat me like a child. Translation, even though I do require you to take care of me and like do all the things for me and otherwise act like a parent in so many different ways, I have to pretend that you're trying to control me when you ask me where I'm going or where I've been or like anything else I don't feel like telling you right now. But listen, don't stop doing all those things that I need you to do or that I want you to do, because I'm totally gonna further abuse and manipulate you if you do. No, seriously. I never said that. You made it up. Translation, I totally said that. I did. But I'm not super happy that you're reminding me of it, so I'm just gonna pretend that you're insane so you'll start doubting yourself again. I like to watch you squirm. It's fun. I like it when you're confused. Do you know why? Yeah, because it keeps you busy. Because this way, I can do whatever I want while you're focused on whatever is wrong with you, which again is nothing. I prayed to meet you. I manifested you. You're my soulmate. For sure. Translation, I have this whole thing I'm gonna do here. I'm gonna make you believe that our connection is divinely inspired so that you're gonna feel like leaving me would like literally be doing something against God or the universe or whatever you're into. I'm sorry I seem to have done things to make you not trust me. Translation, I'm really sorry that you're calling me out on the things I've actually done, but I certainly will not be acknowledging the specific actions I actually committed against you or our relationship. I mean, yeah, I totally did those things or whatever, but I'm not into taking responsibility for them. So my fake apology, that's gonna have to be enough. And don't question me on this one. Accept it or I'll rage on you! Like always, everything that happens going forward is on you, or the ball's in your court now. Translation, I guess we can be together as long as I can, you know, continue to be a horrible human being or whatever, and then you could continue to pretend that I'm perfect, okay? Otherwise, you're on your own, toots, at least until I need another shot of supply from you, okay? Good? Okay. You just don't listen. Translation, I really don't like it when you don't go along with, well, whatever I want or whatever I say. You've got a lot of nerve to say the truth, as opposed to my twisted version of it. So I'm gonna focus on diverting attention from what's actually true by focusing on your hearing, because you can't hear right. You don't hear well. Why do you always insist on arguing with me about everything? Translation, why are you so obsessed with the truth? Despite the fact that I totally make up facts to back up my lies, we both know I'm superior. It's always my way or the highway, right? We've talked about this, right? Don't we know? Can't you see that I love you? Translation, why do you keep making me take responsibility for the things I've done to you? Isn't the fact that I use the words I love you enough to shut you up and make you pretend everything is okay again? Why can't you just love me for who I am? Or, that's just who I am, I won't change for anybody. Translation, I wanna do whatever I wanna do. I wanna say whatever I wanna say. And I wanna treat you however I wanna treat you. I don't want repercussions, and I don't want you to notice or stop acting like I'm the best thing in your whole life, because what would I do with myself? And if you do ask me to stop doing something that you don't like, or to compromise or bend in any way, shape, or form, forget about it. I am gonna make you so miserable. You're gonna be begging me for mercy. That's right. Why can't you just be like everyone else? Translation, why can't you just shut up and do whatever I want in any given moment? I mean, you can't read my mind. You don't just accept whatever I think, say, or feel is fact. I don't like this arrangement. If you can't see there's a problem with this relationship, well, then there really is a problem with this relationship. Translation. Oh, look, we just entered the devalue phase. And guess what? I know you're a little shocked at how mean I've suddenly become and everything. But this is a cycle. Clearly, this is all my fault. However, you have to understand I'm never going to take responsibility. Therefore, I've decided, you know what? I'm just going to start making you question everything. Including, oh, and especially yourself and your own inability to perceive the non-existent issues that I've just made up to confuse you. Boom. Weird. Your tears, they don't faze me, even though I'm a total empath. Translation, I really don't care that I hurt you. I'm a liar. I'm not an empath. Woo, you didn't expect that, did you? Ha ha. I didn't mean to cheat on you. It just happened. Translation, I refuse to accept responsibility for cheating on you. It's not my fault. I can't help it. Anyway, I'm not interested in your emotions. I don't care how you feel. Get a clue. I'm the most honest person you'll ever meet, or I never lie. Translation, I'm the biggest freaking liar on the planet. But you know, I have an image to uphold or whatever. I need to seem innocent and sweet and likable. Plus, I'm really good at lying to myself. Yeah, I really am. It's a skill. I do tend to believe my own lies when it's convenient for me anyway. So. You know, so you're making this about you now? Translation, I really don't care how you're feeling. I really don't care what's going on with you because as I mentioned previously, everything's always about me. Yeah, even when it's really all about you, still me. The idea that you would think otherwise kind of peeves me right off. Okay, peeves me right off. I just want things to be good between us. Translation, if you don't behave the way that I want and accept all my lies and my crappy behavior and whatnot, you're making things not good between us. So it's going to be totally your fault that I will have to be mean to you and or leave again. Yeah, we really can gaslight ourselves. And it's a phenomenon that isn't just seen in people who have been in relationships with narcissists. Of course, it's probably the most prominent among this particular population, but it doesn't have to be the story of your life. There are ways to identify self-gaslighting and ways to overcome it. So let's talk about it. What is self-gaslighting? Well, gaslighting itself is a psychological manipulation technique that is often used by narcissists to make you sort of doubt your thoughts, your ideas, your own judgment, your ability to understand, and quite honestly, even your own perception of the world around you and everything that's happening. So how is it possible that you could gaslight yourself? Well, I see it as sort of a remnant of the narcissist's voice in your own head, in which you sort of do the dirty work on the narcissist's behalf. In other words, you minimize and you invalidate yourself and your own thoughts rather than actually waiting for someone else to do it for you. Now, this is often a result of years or decades of conditioning by the narcissist. Self-gaslighting is also sometimes referred to as internalized gaslighting, and that's what you're doing when you're suppressing your own thoughts, your own emotions, and when you're actively telling yourself that your own thoughts, ideas, feelings, and perceptions are inaccurate or invalid. So it really is a sort of internalized version of the verbal and psychological abuse the narcissist has subjected you to over the years. Does that make sense? So why is self-gaslighting a problem in narcissistic abuse recovery? What's the big deal, right? Well, when you're going through narcissistic abuse, you may have developed this self-gaslighting habit as an attempt to sort of pre-screen your conversations with the narcissist in order to reduce stress on yourself and the relationship. It might have been safer for you to sort of censor yourself before speaking, is what I'm saying. This mindset isn't uncommon with survivors, but it's problematic for you because it causes you to be overly cautious and to not trust yourself and your decisions. This keeps you emotionally and psychologically stuck in your toxic relationship, even when you physically already left it. It makes moving forward and creating a life that makes you feel happy and fulfilled nearly impossible. It keeps you stuck in victim mode, and it never allows you to evolve beyond the role of survivor, even if you do manage to physically remove yourself from the direct influence of the narcissist. It makes you feel not good enough, not smart enough, just not enough in general. You become a disconnected, fragmented shell of your former self. So what are the signs that you're self-gaslighting? Number one, you don't trust yourself. Whenever you have to make a decision or a change in your life, you worry that you're going to make the wrong choice. This can be debilitating, especially if you don't have anyone you can trust to discuss your choices with. In reality, you might even prefer that someone else just tells you what to do, or otherwise you'll just worry that you'll ruin everything and that you'll only have yourself to blame. Which brings me to number two, you don't know who you are these days. What I mean is you don't know how to talk about yourself, and if someone does ask you to do so, you're quick to change the subject. You find yourself feeling numb or lost, or like you aren't even really sure who you are anyway. You might not know what you like or what you want, and even if someone directly asks you, you can't really explain any of that that in any meaningful way. After spending years or decades focused on the narcissist's needs, wants, and whims, you might have lost the ability to talk about yourself altogether. You're far more comfortable letting other people talk about themselves, and any chance you get, you're going to change the subject quickly if it turns to you. Which brings me to number three, you're quick to assign blame to yourself. If you're being honest, you don't even really like yourself that much, and your self-confidence is practically non-existent. You're comfortable in the role of scapegoat, it seems. No matter who's really at fault, if things go wrong, you might instantly assume that you're wrong and that no one else could be responsible. Even if the evidence of someone else being responsible is laid out in front of you, you'll figure out a way to make it all your fault. You might imagine that you could have said or done something differently to affect the outcome, or that maybe if you just offered the right kind of support, it would have never happened. That brings me to number four, you're always apologizing. You find yourself saying things like, I'm sorry, so much that healthier people in your life might say, hey, stop apologizing so much. You're sorry if someone bumps into you, or when you state an opinion or a thought, even if no one around you objects. You can't stop apologizing, and when someone calls you on it, well, you apologize for that too. Number five, you feel like a fraud. You often worry that people are going to discover that you're just not enough or that you're not even a whole person. Maybe you even have full-blown imposter syndrome. Everything you do leaves you feeling like you're pretending. You assume everyone around you is more qualified or effective than you. And you're either terrified that people will find out, or you're already assuming they know it. So how do you overcome self-gaslighting? Well, once you've recognized that you're using self-gaslighting, you've already taken the first step toward resolving it. But what do you do now? Well, how do you stop gaslighting yourself so you can continue to heal and move forward in your life? Well, I've got some ideas for you. Number one, remember that these aren't your own thoughts. As I explained earlier, very often self-gaslighting feels a lot like a remnant of the narcissist's voice in your own head. So ask yourself, where do these thoughts really come from and why am I thinking them? Take some time and really think about it. And then ask yourself things like this. Are these thoughts accurate? When and where did I first think this way? Who taught me to think this way about myself? How does thinking this way affect me long term? Number two, try this healing list exercise. One exercise I do with my clients to help them create some awareness around this kind of thing is to have them write a list of all the negative self-perceptions they've picked up along the way. Then, during a session, we go down the list and we first identify where they got these ideas from initially. When that's done, the client will go down the list and cross off all the negative self-perceptions and then replace them with their truth, or at least what they want to be the truth. These truths then become the new affirmations for the client that they can use to help them grow forward in their narcissistic abuse recovery. Number three, think about how you would talk to your child or another person you love unconditionally. Survivors very often have a really hard time figuring out how to appropriately treat and speak to themselves. Not only have their parents and other people in their lives not given them the skills they need to love themselves, but they've actually worked against the idea of independent thought and autonomy. In order to work through this and speak to yourself in a way that is appropriate and self-validating, think about how you would speak to your child or someone else you love unconditionally, and then speak to yourself that way. This particular tip was a huge game changer for me personally. As was this next one, number four, use pattern interrupts. Pattern interrupts are incredibly effective for so many different aspects of narcissistic abuse recovery, and here's one more way they can be used. When you have been self-gaslighting for so long, it almost becomes an automatic behavior, a pattern, that you fall into without even thinking about it. So when you begin to work on letting go of self-gaslighting, you can use mindfulness to pay attention to your thoughts and your ideas, and then you can choose to use a pattern interrupt to change it. This might be a simple affirmation you repeat, or it might be something even simpler, like standing up and moving into a different room of the house, or taking a quick shower. You could brush your teeth, brush your hair, wash your hands, count all the items in a room that are a certain color, among many other options to pattern interrupt these toxic patterns in your own mind. That brings me to number five, work on understanding yourself and your emotions better. See, we become so disconnected from ourselves when we're involved with a narcissist that we can't even remember who we are. So one of the very best ways to push through self-gaslighting is to take a deep breath and dive into the emotions when we can. So if you're feeling sad, allow yourself to cry if you need to. Then explore the tears. What do they mean? Why are you crying? What is making you sad? Validate your own emotions and figure out how to resolve them. Take the time to find out what you really want and need, and work on developing more connection to your own intuition. Journaling can help a lot with this process, and it can help you understand your thoughts and emotions. Ultimately, you can stop self-gaslighting with a little self-compassion, intention, and mindful action. Listen, even the so-called normal relationships in our lives can suffer from misunderstandings, miscommunications, etc. But when someone starts using the manipulation tactics involved in gaslighting, chances are you're probably dealing with someone who's really toxic. And if you're going to maintain a sense of self here, you're going to need to understand what this is, and you want to learn what to do about it. So let's talk about that. How do you deal with gaslighting? Well, the very best way is to use something called the Grey Rock Method. So I'm going to quickly define for you what the Grey Rock Method is, because it truly is the very best way to deal with a narcissist who is gaslighting you if you are not able to get away from that person and go no contact. The idea of it is that you use this in order to encourage the narcissist to kind of lose interest in you. And what that means is that as you're going through the process of being gaslighted, rather than reacting the way you might normally react when they say twist a fact or name call or mess with your head, you recognize what they're doing is gaslighting, and then you don't respond or react to it at all. You simply go, oh, that's interesting. So if normally you would scream and act crazy, or you would cry, or you would throw things, don't do any of those things anymore. Just go, oh, mm-hmm, okay, I see you. Or nothing. You can say nothing. Now, you're not trying to avoid contact with this person, but anytime they're coming at you with some manipulation or some name calling or games or anything like that, you don't give them what they want, which is your emotional energy. Because in some ways, these people are kind of like vampires when it comes to emotional energy. They want what you got. They want all of it because they need it to survive. It's called narcissistic supply. If you're going through gaslighting, the best answer is to end the relationship and get away from that person. If you cannot do that, the next best thing you can do is Grey Rock Method. Try it. It works.
Now this brings me to the question of the day. The question of the day is, did you recognize any of the signs of gaslighting that I explained in this video today? Do you see it as part of your reality? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. Now, if you have thoughts or advice that might help another survivor here, please comment them below so that our community can continue to heal together. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm going to leave for you right here and right there. And while you're here, hit the subscribe button right there so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.